Morgan program for Thursday. I'll be back tomorrow night at the Roadster Show at Memorial Coliseum in Portland. Hope you'll come by and say hello. This is KOIN. I'll have the Morgan's Mystery Box, and we'll see if we can give you an album. My engineer is rushing me. He wants me to get the heck out of here. Bryce, give me my microphone back. Bryce, give me that microphone. Bryce.
KOIN, Portland.
CBS News. President Ford again prods Congress to approve a new energy program. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. In a message to Congress, the president said the lawmakers should get on with the unfinished business of achieving national independence in energy. The president told reporters about the waiting for action.
After months of debate on energy, the Congress has completed action on only one major piece of energy legislation. My 18 other major legislative proposals, which are absolutely essential to achieve our national energy goals, still await action by the Congress.
The president also sent Congress some new energy proposals. One of them would set deadlines for completing federal paperwork for pipeline projects to bring natural gas into 48 states from Alaska. The other would set limits on imports of liquefied natural gas. More news in a moment.
Imagine what it would be like to have a microwave oven with a memory, so you could tell it to defrost a roast, cook it, then call you when dinner's ready. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Well, it is fantastic, because that's exactly what the revolutionary Amana Touchmatic Radar Range microwave oven can do for you. Because it's the first microwave oven with a memory. You take a frozen roast out of the freezer and put it in the Amana Touchmatic Radar Range. You select defrost and cooking times by touching numbers on the control panel. Push start, and the Amana Touchmatic Radar Range memory takes over. It remembers to defrost, remembers to wait for the temperature to even, remembers with split-second accuracy just how long to cook, remembers to shut itself off. It even remembers to call you for dinner. Then the timer remembers the exact time of day and displays it in lights. Get together with a friend and go see your Amana retailer this week. They'll show you the Amana Touchmatic Radar Range in action. Fantastic.
The Agriculture Department wants to tighten the eligibility requirements for food stamps in order to save about $1.2 billion a year. The plan is drawing some criticism, including that of a New York-based group, as voiced by Ronald Pollack.
In addition to eliminating 5.5 million people from the food stamp program, it's our estimation that an additional 5 million people will lose benefits. They will remain in the program, but they will receive fewer benefits than they had received prior to these regulations. This will result from the department's regulations, which increase the purchase prices that people have to pay in order to buy their way into the food stamp program.
Pollack is the director of the Food Research and Action Center. Jimmy Carter, the Democratic frontrunner in the race for the presidential nomination, was the target of a lot of criticism Thursday by other Democrats who want the nomination. For example, Birch Bayh said Carter sounds more like a Republican to him. Another rival, Henry Jackson, denies the other candidates are ganging up on Carter.
I see no evidence of that. I think Governor Carter has postured himself in a position where he is... very vulnerable in many areas because he announced after the New Hampshire primary that he would not make available his position on various national problems until after he won the nomination. That's asking a lot of the American people.
Jackson also played down the New Hampshire results. He said next week's results from the Massachusetts primary will be more significant, and Jackson predicts he's going to win in Massachusetts. President Ford on Tuesday said he now thinks that trip to China by Richard Nixon probably hurt Mr. Ford in New Hampshire, where he won a very narrow victory over Ronald Reagan. Reagan campaigned in Florida on Thursday for next month's primary there. He told a crowd of about 10,000 in St. Petersburg that President Ford's proposed increase in Social Security taxes is a band-aid solution to a problem that needs major reform. Now this.
America is celebrating its 200th birthday. Metropolitan Life has had more than 100. Which birthday are you approaching? At Metropolitan, we'd like to remind you that years and birthdays always pass by sooner than you think. If you want to be ready for the future, you have to prepare for it now. We've spent over a century helping people do just that, and your Metropolitan Insurance representative can do the same for you.
We're helping 40 million people, more than 40 million people, who know the future is now. At Metropolitan, we help to plan your future, because the future is now.
Always thought it was Alexander Graham Bell who invented the telephone. Not so, says the Italian Historical Society, and they're making an issue out of it. In New York, the society has filed a complaint against the U.S. Postmaster General and is trying to halt the issuance of a stamp commemorating the 100th anniversary of the Bell telephone. The group says it was an Italian emigrant named Antonio Meucci who first came up with the telephone and filed a patent 5 years before Bell did. They say he was denied the patent because of anti-Italian sentiment at the time. The society says it will issue its own commemorative stamp honoring Meucci. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
His only problem was there was nobody there to answer it. Coin News continues at 11:06. Mayors of 7 Washington cities and 4 county officials have petitioned the legislature to approve a ballot measure that would allow voters to determine if they want to call a constitutional convention. They said they were fearful the proposal would be left to die in the Senate, where it has been resting quietly for 3 weeks since it was approved by the House. The Pacific Marine Fisheries Commission has scheduled a series of public meetings along the West Coast and in Alaska and Hawaii this spring to determine the problems faced by commercial fishermen and processors. The commission will also try to determine what those parties feel Congress could do to resolve the problems and strengthen U.S. fisheries. Eighth-ranked Washington shot 70% from the floor in the second half tonight, en route to an important 67-62 victory over 17th-rated Oregon in Pac-8 conference basketball in Eugene. The loss halted Oregon's 9-game winning streak and knocked the Ducks out of a 3-way tie for second place. Washington is now 9-3 in the conference and shares the number 2 spot with Oregon State. Meanwhile, Oregon State kept its Pac-8 title hopes alive with a 69-55 win over Washington State. The Beavers used the hot second-half shooting of guard Rocky Smith to dispose of the Cougar threat. Smith hit 14 of 28 points after the intermission. It's 7.5 minutes after 11 o'clock at KOIN. The Portland-Vancouver forecast calls for continued 100% chance of precipitation at the current temperature downtown, 38 degrees.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... G. Marshall. The fantasy world of a child. All diagonal squiggles of shimmering color. The effervescence of cascading balloons, mint candy sticks and sugar trees, gingerbread houses and yellow brick roads. Or something dark and terrifying, because the logic of a young mind has no moral strictures yet to shape it. That's what this story is all about. Which is which?
Yes, Mr. Charles. I heard you. I knew you wouldn't leave me.
Mr. Charles? What does the child mean, Ellen?
It's the name she's taken to calling her grandfather. Oh, Lord, take us. She's talking to the corpse.
Of course I won't cry anymore now. I promise, Mr. Charles. Yes, I understand. What? Oh, I see. Well, then, goodbye for now, Mr. Charles.
Lysha, child, what are you doing in here, talking to the dead?
Mystery drama, The Providential Ghost, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Beatrice Strait.
It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, and True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Stirring up great controversy is the book, They've Killed the President, The Search for the Murderers of John F. Kennedy, written by top journalist Robert Sam Hansen. Here's what people are saying.
If you read only one book about the assassination of President Kennedy, read this one.
Frank Mankiewicz, Robert Kennedy's former press secretary.
The book you shouldn't read.
David Bellin, former Warren Commission counsel.
Powerful journalistic scholarship that can only prove helpful to a confused public.
The New York Times. Read They've Killed the President. You decide for yourself. A Bantam paperback.
For a lot of people, a full-size car is a downright necessity. Buick understands that, which is why they build Le Sabre, a car with lots of standard comfort and convenience, a big trunk, and honest-to-goodness elbow room for six. Buick Le Sabre, free spirit in the family size.
This is a message to some very special people. They're special people because even though they may feel fine, they're dying. They're people who have high blood pressure and aren't treating it seriously. If you are one of these people, take a few seconds to listen to some statistics. They may help you add years to your life. Insurance companies have found the higher your blood pressure is, the more years you can subtract from your life. For example, if your blood pressure is 140 over 95... subtract 9 years from your life. And if it's 150 over 100, you could die 16 years too early. Here are a few more numbers to think about. If you don't treat your high blood pressure, chances are 3 times greater that you'll have a stroke, and almost 5 times greater that you'll suffer from congestive heart failure. But you can lead a longer and healthier life if you treat your high blood pressure seriously. See your doctor. Get back on your treatment. Treat your high blood pressure and live. A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Silver Birch Hills is the kind of exclusive community you will find within a comfortable limousine ride of any large American city. Very private people who want to be hermetically sealed in a private world. Huge estates, accumulated wealth, frozen attitudes about life that go back generations. Great for the people who like to think they're the only people, but not so wonderful for little girls of 10, full of curiosity and excitement about life, like Felicity Depew Miller, who may never know how lucky she is that she has Ellen Gardner in her life. And, of course, that lovable old recalcitrant grandfather of hers, whom she calls Mr. Charles.
What's he saying, Mr. Charles?
I should think he's saying thank you for the peanuts. And isn't it a lovely day since you came along, Felicity?
There you go again. Don't call me that.
It's your name.
And I hate it.
It's a nice name. It means happiness, joy, and good luck.
Just the same, I hate it. The way you don't like me to call you Grandpa, or like that.
Well, Grandpa and Grandfather makes me sound old and creaky and falling apart.
Which you're not. And Felicity makes me feel the same way, which I'm not. So you promise to call me Fleischer.
Yes, I'm your Mr. Charles.
Right on.
Hmm?
That's the thing they say now. Right on.
Oh, what's it mean exactly?
I don't know. But if you say it, it means you're not an old poke, like Aunt Sissy or Aunt Jane.
Well, I don't know how I ever fathered them, but there they are. All right, Lisha.
That's better. See, even the elephant agrees.
Well, animals are smarter and nicer than people, especially elephants.
Right on, Mr. Charles.
You made your point. But why Charles when my name is Henry?
That's only one of your names.
I saw all the others in the big family Bible.
Oh, good Lord. Forget those. Still, why Charles?
Because Mr. Charles is my panda.
Yes, of course.
See? Mr. Charles is my very favorite person in all the world. So, that's why when we didn't want to say Grandpa or those other things, I decided you were my real Mr. Charles.
I'm very flattered. What should we do next? You want foam candy or ice cream?
You know what I really want, Mr. Charles?
No. What?
I don't really want to go home. Because it isn't like a home now.
It's a big, gloomy old barn. I've got to admit that, but still.
I liked it enough when Mom and Pop... But after they went away, there was just you.
Well, now there are your aunts.
I hate my aunts. I hate them.
Well, dear me. I don't know I altogether blame you, but... You do have Ellen and me.
I know. And I love you both. It's just I...
You what, dear?
I just don't want to go back to Lakeview House.
But that's your home.
Not since Mom and Pop... Aunt Sissy and Aunt Jane say I have to say went away. That isn't how it was. They died. They were drowned.
Come, Rasha. Let's not think about that. We're out for a nice day at the zoo.
Mr. Charles, what's wrong?
Nothing, little one. Not a thing.
But you look all white and sort of papery.
Oh, that won't do at all. I'll just take a magic pill. You'll see. I look all ruddy again.
I'm scared, Mr. Charles.
Oh, whatever for?
If you ever went away like Mom and Pop, I don't know what I'd do to be safe.
Safe?
Just you and Ellen. That's all that keeps me safe. And if you weren't here, maybe Ellen wouldn't.
Wouldn't what?
Wouldn't be here. So you see... You just can't leave me.
I promise you, I never will. Harriet.
Keep quiet, Henry.
Oh, I'm on your damn diet. No booze, no cigarettes, nothing but pap to eat. I can't dilate my arteries just to please you. And call me Charles.
Charles? What for?
That's the only name that means anything to me. It's what my granddaughter wants to call me. And I like it.
Okay, Charles, if you want it.
How long can I live?
Oh, how the devil can I answer a silly question like that?
I can't die, Elliot. It's Lisha.
Lisha?
My granddaughter.
Oh, Libby's child, Felicity.
It's a whole new deal. I'm Charles and she's Lisha.
Huh? Whatever you say, Charles.
I'm going to ask that question again. How long?
Okay. The general condition you're in right now, you ought to be in a hospital. You could have another heart attack any day. And the next one's pretty sure to be the last. Well?
Well, I have to last long enough to make sure Lisha grows up safe.
What are you so worried about Lisha for? She has your housekeeper and your other daughters to bring her up.
Oh, Ellen is fine. But Sissy and Jane are something else again.
Well, what's the matter with them? They're fine church-going women who would...
Who have forgotten, if they ever knew, how to be a child. They're sour as buttermilk.
You're too hard on them.
Maybe, but in turn I find them too hard on Lisha. If she were left alone with them... Well, as I say, I'll just have to make sure she isn't.
Oh, it really is too bad, Sissy. Missing lunch. And now the tea is getting cold.
Well, why don't we just pour, Jane?
I think we will.
Where do you suppose he is?
I don't know.
But didn't he have an appointment with Dr. Farnsworth?
Well, that was before lunch.
Oh, You don't suppose...
Oh, nonsense. If anything had happened, of course we would have been notified by now.
Well, just the same, he isn't well.
This isn't his physical health I'm beginning to be concerned about.
I think he's held out surprisingly well after the last attack.
It certainly has surprised me. I thought he'd be gone within a month after Libby.
Oh, don't. Don't remind me about her.
That's all over and done with, Sissy.
She was my sister.
And mine. Now, let's put Libby out of our mind. She's gone forever. Our concern now is with Father. What worries me is that he's slipping in his mind.
Papa?
Yes. All those silly things like changing Felicity's name and allowing her to call him by the name of one of her animals, Mr. Charles, indeed.
Well, you know how he is about her.
Yes, indeed. A child can wind him about a little finger, just like her mother.
Well, Ellen spoils her, too.
Yes. Believe me, when Father dies, she will be the next one to go. Felicity needs a firm hand and plenty of control, which I intend to see that she gets, for everyone's sake.
Oh, you intend to see gets what, Jane?
Father, I didn't hear you come in.
Oh, I'm like the fog. I creep in on little cat feet.
Do you feel all right?
Oh, don't look at me as though I'd flip my wig. The modern expression which means gone out of my mind.
Oh, maybe you'd like a little tea, Papa.
Good Lord, no. Maybe I'll have a drink instead.
Now, you know you're not supposed to drink.
Or have any fun at all, eh, Jane? Well, you know my philosophy. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. At least I can be merry anyway. Where's Lysha?
She's been sent to her room and told to go to bed without supper.
Why?
Now, you know how often I've spoken to her about tracking mud into the house. Well, she did it again today, and when I scolded her, she was unruly and impolite. And she said it didn't matter what I said, that Mr. Charles was the only one who mattered, and he wouldn't punish her.
She really is very rebellious, Papa.
Well, you can hardly blame her when she gets so little understanding from either of you.
I knew it. Taking her part immediately. It's just like Libby all over again.
Now, that'll be enough. I don't want to hear any more. I'm going upstairs to Lysha.
I suppose you're going to countermand my orders.
She has to get a little love from somebody in the family.
I was just hurrying home to see you, Mr. Charles. Why did she have to be so mean?
Well, now, Lysha, you don't want to be too hard on Auntie Jane.
Yes, I do, because I hate her. Just the way she hates me and she used to hate Mommy. She's the one who should be just like Mommy and Daddy. I wish she was dead.
Oh, honey, that's no way to talk.
I have to, because don't you see, Mr. Charles, if you ever went away like Mommy, then she'd want to get rid of me. And Aunt Sissy, too, because she does whatever Aunt Jane says. And then if I was all alone, I don't know what I'd have to do.
Don't you worry, Lysha. Don't you worry. Even if I had to go away, you trust me to make sure that somehow Mr. Charles would be around to protect you.
How can he promise to be around to protect her? And does Lysha need protection, really? Is what she says true of two strict old ladies, or does she fantasize them as witches? A simple enough situation, perhaps, but as you will see, far from it. As the fuse of Mr. Charles' life burns down to the powder keg of buried emotion. I shall return shortly with Act Two.
True Value Hardware Stores offers three things that can help you get your income tax statement done faster and maybe get your tax return back sooner. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you about them. First, the Rockwell 8-digit calculator. Its separate percent key is especially useful for figuring income tax math. Yet it's just $9.97 at True Value Hardware Stores. Second, the Rockwell 24RD calculator. It features easy, four-key memory entry and extra-large display, plus separate square root, percent, and change sign keys, all for just $19.97. And third, the Rockwell 30R slide rule calculator with memory, also just $19.97. It does reciprocals, square roots, percentages, and stores the answers for future reference. Get your income tax statement done faster and your tax return back sooner with help from Rockwell Calculators from your participating True Value Hardware store. And now, you can charge it on Master Charge at many stores.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The book of Job says this about dreams. God speaks first in one way and then in another, but no one notices. He speaks in dreams and visions that come in the night. When slumber comes on mankind and all men are asleep in bed, then it is He whispers in the ear of man, or may frighten him with fearful sights and turn him away from evil doing to save his soul from the pit. So listen to your dreams. They could guide you to new and positive directions. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Aisha has been left temporarily to the comforting arms of Ellen, the housekeeper. Mr. Charles sits momentarily exhausted in his great armchair while the pain of the angina recedes from his left arm to a still, dull ache in his chest. Another nitroglycerin tablet eases it enough for him to make a phone call for Dr. Farnsworth, and now a second call to his lawyer, Mr. Courtley.
Arthur, Henry Poindexter. I'm sorry if I'm interrupting your dinner, but this is an emergency. Well, don't ask, just listen. Did you prepare that codicil for my will? Good. Well, I want you to get it over here to me as fast as you can. I said just listen, damn it. Bring someone, Cora or your secretary, I don't care, as a witness. No. Dr. Farnsworth will be here, and he can be the other. For obvious reasons, not my daughter's or Ellen. Yes, I'm waiting to make sure of that right now. Please come. It's an emergency. Just a minute. Who is it?
It's Ellen, Mr. Poindexter.
That's Ellen now, Arthur. I'll see you in a hurry. Come in, Ellen. Close the door and come in and sit beside me.
Oh. Mr. Poindexter, are you all right?
No, Ellen, I'm afraid I'm not.
No.
The doctor's on his way. Let him see what he can do for this heart of mine. I need you to set my mind at rest.
Anything I can do, sir, you know that.
First, how's Lysha?
She's asleep or I wouldn't have left her. I got her calmed down some. Mostly it was sheer emotional exhaustion.
She's high-strung, like her mother.
Well, it's that mind of hers. You know, it gives me a start sometimes how grown up she is for 10 years old.
Ellen, I want you to do something for me.
If it's in my power.
I want you to be Lysha's legal guardian. She's my sole heir.
Oh, but what would I have to do?
Be responsible for Lysha till she's of age or till she gets married.
You mean almost like I was her mother?
I mean, I hope exactly like.
But what about Miss Jane and Miss Sissy?
Oh, they'll be well provided for. And they can always make their home here.
I want to, Mr. Poindexter, but sure, I don't know what Dennis would have to say.
Dennis?
Oh, he's my intended, like.
Oh.
Oh, we've been going together ever since, well, for about a year now. We're going to be married in a couple of years when he retires from the force.
Of course.
Well, he's with the police. Plain clothes. You might remember him when he was here in connection with...
Oh.
When Miss Libby and Mr. George had their accident. Sergeant Dennis Mullaney.
Yes, I think I do. Well, why can't you be married, Ellen? Maybe you could take Lasha to live with you. There'd be plenty of money.
Oh, it isn't that.
That'll be the doctor or my lawyer. One or the other had better get here soon.
I'll go and get the door.
No. Let someone else. Ellen, I have nowhere else to turn. I'm going to name you anyway.
No. Mr. Charles, oh, Granddaddy, Mr. Charles. I was so scared you'd gone away and left me.
Oh, no. Now, little one, you know I promised you Mr. Charles would always be around.
Oh, you have that papery book again.
My father's right inside, Dr. Farnsworth. I had no idea.
Thank you, Miss Poindexter. Hello, Ellen, Lasha, Henry. Now, I want all the rest of you out of here, pronto.
No, don't take him away.
Oh, come along, dear. Let the doctor help him.
Don't leave me alone with them.
Now, Lasha, that's quite enough.
If you leave me alone with them, they'll kill me, Mr. Charles.
Miss Felicity.
Looks as though I may have another patient. But you first, Henry.
Don't worry, Elliot. I won't be leaving this vale of tears yet. Oh, not till I've signed my will, anyway.
Thank you all for coming to pay your respects.
Thank you.
The funeral will be tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock, at St. Andrew's Cathedral. Thank heavens. I hope that's the last of them, Helen.
Oh, Mr. Poindexter had so many friends.
Yes. My father was somebody. But what are you doing downstairs? Why aren't you up with Miss Felicity?
Well, I was looking for her. I was out of the room a moment and she disappeared on me.
Now, look, you were told to stay with her. Mr. Courtley is waiting in the library for the reading of the will. Go and ask Miss Sissy to come down there and then find Felicity and see she stays put.
Yes, ma'am. I'll take care of it.
And I'll take care of you, Ellen. Just as soon as the funeral is over, out you go. Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Courtley.
Miss Poindexter.
My sister will be right down, and we can get this ridiculous formality over with.
I think, under the circumstances, that Miss Gardner and Lasha should be here, too.
Who?
Well, I mean Felicity and Ellen.
Under what circumstances?
They are both principals.
Ellen? My father made her a legatee.
Not precisely, but she must be here.
I don't understand, but... But I see no reason for a child of 10 to be involved.
Well, since Felicity is a minor and her interests will be represented, perhaps we can dispense with her.
From your attitude, perhaps you'd like to dispense with me and my sister also.
I think at least one of you should be here.
Absolutely inexcusable. I can't believe what I've heard. To be left practically unwelcome guests in our own house? At the whim of our former housekeeper?
You know, as far as I'm concerned, you're more than welcome.
Oh, thank you for your generosity. But will we be received with joyful open arms by our niece?
Oh, sure you will, ma'am. Now, you give me the chance. I'll bring her around.
You can't be seriously considering fostering this madness, accepting the terms of this will. He must have been out of his mind.
I assure you he was not. In no sense. I have affidavits from Dr. Farnsworth and two psychiatrists. Your father insisted on having examined him the day before this will was signed and witnessed.
You mean there's nothing I can do about this?
In my legal and personal opinion, not a thing.
That's something which we shall see about.
Well, Ellen, it looks as though you're going to have a rocky time. If there's any way I can help...
Oh, I'll manage. And I'll have to talk to you later, Mr. Courtley. Right at the moment, if you'll excuse me. It's Lasha I'm worried about. I don't know where she's got to, and she's that upset. I've got to find her.
I'll walk out with you. You know, This is a tremendous responsibility that's been thrust on you. I think if you have a lawyer or some friend that's close, perhaps you ought to talk it over
with... I will, but wait a minute.
Yes, Mr. Charles. I hear you. I knew you wouldn't leave me.
Mr. Charles?
It's what she's taken to call on her grandfather. Oh, the Lord take us. She's in talking to the corpse.
Of course I won't cry anymore. Now, I promise. Yes. I understand. What? Oh, I see. Well, goodbye for now.
Lisha, child, what are you doing in here?
Just talking to Mr. Charles.
Oh, now, come away, dear. This is no place for a little girl.
It's all right. I don't have to cry anymore now.
What do you mean, now?
I mean now that I know Mr. Charles hasn't really gone away. He just talked to me and told me I shouldn't be afraid. Would you excuse me, please? I have to go upstairs to my room and think about all the things he told me.
Is that child all right?
I don't know. The three people she loved most in the world taken away from her in less than a year. I'm not wise enough to know what that might do to the mind of a child, especially one as sensitive as her.
Alan.
Oh, what is it, Dennis?
You're not eating your dinner.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just, there's so much on my mind.
Well, I thought we were after settling that. I mean, you being guardian and all, I told you it's all right with me.
I know, Denny. It's sweet you were about it, too. Isn't that worrying me for the moment?
Well, what then, sweetie?
Well, I don't even know if I should be away from her tonight.
Well, sure, it's your regular day off, isn't it?
Oh, yes, but I don't know if I should have left Lisha alone.
Yes, Mr. Charles. I understand. No, I'm not scared. I'll do just what you tell me. Yes? I know just where to get it. And do what? Oh, sure, that's easy. Just like magicians do. But what about Auntie Jane? Okay, just like you say. One thing at a time. Goodbye, Mr. Charles. I love you, too.
Nice cup of chocolate I promised you before you went to bed.
Thank you, Aunt Sissy. Did you bring one for yourself, too?
Oh, yes. We can have a little party. There, now, that's yours. And I'll put mine on the table beside it.
I don't really like chocolate all that much.
Oh, now, you have to drink it.
Could you get Mr. Charles for me?
Mr. Charles?
Oh, I didn't mean Grandfather. He's passed on now. I mean the other Mr. Charles. I left him in the bathroom.
Oh, of course, dear. Your big woolly panda. I'll get him right away.
Only he's not. I'm talking to you, Mr. Charles. My real Mr. Charles. I'm doing what you said now.
There we are. Mr. Charles in person. You suppose he'd like some nice hot chocolate, too?
He doesn't like it much either.
Oh, well then, let's just show him how good it is. Hey, you drink it all down, dear. I made it specially for you.
You drink all yours, and I'll drink all mine.
It's a deal.
Well, Sissy, did you have your chocolate with Felicity?
Yes.
How did it go?
Well, I can't believe it. No problem at all. I'm so relieved.
Oh,
I'm glad Ellen's night out gave us the chance. Maybe we're getting somewhere with Felicity after all. Wouldn't that be nice? It would solve everything. Ellen! Ellen, for God's sake, Ellen!
Yes, yes, well, what is it, Miss Jane?
It's Sissy, it's my sister. Call Dr. Farnsworth.
At 6 a.m.
I don't care if it's the middle of the night. Get him here, get the hospital, get someone. I think she's dead.
Now, what is going on at Lakeview House? What hallucinations can a child of 10 have? How real and sharp can they be? How terrible might their power of suggestion be? If Mr. Charles is a real ghost, or only a figment of the imagination, could a child be responsible for someone's death? I'll return shortly with Act 3.
The most successful selling cold medicine in the world is a little capsule. It's Contact. It contains no ingredients for aches and fever, no cough medicine, yet gives you longer relief per dose than any pill, any liquid. Full-time 24-hour relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. Contact. Its tiny time pills contain ingredients to work up to 12 hours. That's longer relief per dose from those symptoms than any pill, any liquid. So, give your cold a Contact. All day, all night. Full time. Give your cold to Contact. Give your cold to Contact. Give your cold. Use only as directed.
Who will cope with tomorrow for a brighter new day? There's one hope for tomorrow, the children of today.
There is only one hope for tomorrow, the children. Yet there are children in this world right now who have no hope for a brighter today. They're hungry, illiterate, living in misery, and when they grow up, if they grow up, they'll pass on this hopelessness. And it's the world's loss and the world's shame. You can help children to grow up with healthy bodies and educated minds, with a zest for life that they'll pass on to their children and to our world. Won't you please send a check to Save the Children Federation, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017. Think about tomorrow.
We've got to save the children and save the world. Help them to grow.
In her bedroom, Sissy Poindexter lies dead. Lysha has been mercifully packed off to school, as usual, to protect her, however briefly, from this new shock. And among the unexpected visitors at the house are Sergeant Dennis Mullane and, of course, Dr. Farnsworth.
Well, Doctor?
No question, Miss Jane, as to the cause of death. Cardiac failure.
But that's impossible.
It's been a long time since I examined either of you. I think perhaps I should do an autopsy, if you'll give me permission.
No.
Why not?
I will not have the body of my sister desecrated.
It might help to know why she had cardiac failure.
How? Would it bring her back? No, let well enough alone, Dr. Farnsworth. This family has a curse on it. Leave us to handle it in our own way.
Now, why do you suppose she's all that vehement about it?
Who are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sergeant Dennis Mullane. You'll remember we met on the sad occasion of the drowning of Miss Poindexter's young sister, little Lysha's mother, and her father. And that Ellen and me are engaged to be married.
Of course, yes. What are you doing here today?
Well, like I say, Ellen and I are engaged, so naturally I had a particular interest. And then again...
Are you hinting at anything?
I don't know. Why should you want an autopsy?
I can give you the same answer. I don't know, for sure.
Are you going to issue a death certificate without one?
I reckon. No real reason why I shouldn't.
Could you hold it off till tomorrow?
I don't know if I want to. Why should I?
Well, let's be frank, Doctor. For whatever our own reasons, we both think there's more here than meets the eye. I need a little time to trace a couple of things.
I'm going to sign the death certificate. Heart failure. It happens, even as early as 50. You got any more to say?
Yeah. Let it go till tomorrow. You can sign it then. There's nothing to lose.
But you're not like yourself at all, Denny. I don't know why you have to ask all these questions.
Sure, it's only to protect us all. So what about that bottle?
Well, it was only a prescription the doctor gave to be filled for Mr. Poindexter.
Was it digitalis?
Something like that.
Just before he died, he'd gotten a whole new bottle of pills?
Yes, I picked them up myself.
And after he died, was the bottle still there?
Of course. When I cleaned up his room, I put it in the drawer by the bed.
Is it there now?
I suppose.
Well, it's not. It's here.
You took it from the drawer.
I did not. I found it in the pocket of Miss Cicely Poindexter's dressing gown.
Well, what would it be doing there?
Well, now, that's what I asked myself, since it's empty. Did you know that digitalis in an overdose is a fatal poison for anyone, heart case or no?
No.
And didn't you tell me that Miss Sissy and the little girl had chocolate together last night? Didn't she tell you that?
Yes.
The pills would dissolve very easily in a hot drink, and they'd have no taste. Not in chocolate, anyway.
But sweet Mary herself, what are you trying to say? That Lysha might have had something to do with it, a child of 10? I'll not believe such a thing of my little Lysha.
Well, I don't want to either, Ellen. Miss Sissy didn't die of natural causes. And before any of us can be really happy and free again, we're going to have to pin down just how she did die.
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm going to go right out on a limb the way I should have a year ago. I'm going to get enough equipment to drag the lake.
Yes, Mr. Charles. I understand. No, I'm not worried. I guess if it hadn't been Aunt Sissy, it might have been me. But who should I tell?
Okey smokey. I'll just hang tight till you get back to me.
Oh, there you are, Felicity, dear. I was looking for you.
What for?
Why, Ellen has to drive in and do some shopping, and she thought perhaps you'd like to ride with her.
That's funny.
What is, dear?
Ellen just told me she was going to have a bit of a lie down.
A what?
A lie down. That's what she says when she means a nap.
Oh. Well, she's changed her mind. She's down in the car in the small garage. She was just starting it up, and I was telling her some last-minute things, and all of a sudden, she thought you might like to go along.
Oh, I would.
Well, then, let's go down to her. I have something else to arrange.
Is it just to Poulter's farm?
Oh, no. You'd be going further than that. Quite a long way, in fact.
I don't care. I don't care if we never get back.
Such a nice thing to say, Felicity. And you know something?
What?
Neither do I.
She shouldn't let the car run with the garage door closed. At school, in safety first, they told us it's dangerous. There's a gas that could kill a person.
Why? The things they teach you at school nowadays. But they're perfectly correct, Felicity. It's exactly what it's going to do.
You pushed me. You scraped my knee.
Don't worry. Soon it won't hurt at all. Nothing will hurt you anymore, Felicity. Going somewhere, Ellen?
Oh, Miss Poindexter. Well, yes, I just wanted to see if Lysha was all right.
Well, you won't have to worry about Felicity, or Lysha, as you call her, anymore.
What do you mean? I'd better go to her.
I know. It's too soon.
That's a pistol.
That's just what it is. And pointed at you, Ellen.
Oh, what for?
Oh, don't be alarmed. As long as you do as you're told. You see, you're not mistress of this house. No matter what the will said, I am. So back up. Into the room. And sit down.
I don't understand.
And while we're waiting, I'll try to make it all quite clear.
Make what clear?
What we're waiting for, of course.
Miss Jane, you really...
Shh. Quite still. And don't think I'll be afraid to shoot. I have before, you know, when I killed Felicity's mother, Libby, with this gun. And her weakling of a husband.
Oh, killed them? But they were drowned in an accident.
Yes, that's what everyone thought. Just as I told Sissy we could make them think. You remember that day, don't you?
Oh, I'll never forget it. I was away with Lycia at dancing school when we heard...
Quite right. Father was in bed with his first heart attack. And I just found out about his will. Oh, it didn't surprise me that Libby was to get almost everything. She was always the favorite. From the time she was a baby, Libby was the center of everything. Libby always came first.
Oh, Miss Jane, don't do this to yourself. Don't.
Shut up. Now, you listen to me if no one else will. When it came to the point, I couldn't stand it anymore. It was all so easy. Two shots. George and Libby even had the sails up. Two shots. Two shots. Was all I needed. It was to help stay off, and the wind was blowing offshore, away from the house. I locked them in the cabin. I lashed the tiller and shoved them off. There was a nice quartering wind to carry them on a reach straight out to the middle of the lake, where they sank without a trace. Because before I shoved them off, I'd taken care to remove the bilge drain plug. Her gunnels were awash within a quarter of a mile, and she went down like a stone to bury boat and them under 30 feet of mud and silt on the bottom of the lake. A perfect murder.
Oh, dear Lord.
But it was all for nothing. Felicity just took Libby's place in Father's love. So, when the will cut us out again, she had to go.
You... tried to do away with...
Yes. Oh, it should have been so simple. All the rest of Father's pills and a cup of chocolate. Oh, but I should never have allowed Sissy to handle it. She's always bungled everything, clumsy little fool. She must have mixed up the cups.
Oh, and it wasn't a heart attack. You... Oh, where's Lycia now? Well, what have you done to her?
I haven't done anything. Carbon monoxide will do that for me.
I don't understand.
She's locked in your little garage. The connecting door to the house needs a key. The overhead door is far too heavy for her to lift. And the car is running.
Oh, Mother of God, don't look so stricken, Ellen.
It's a very gentle way to die.
How did you escape?
With the key. Mr. Charles told me where to find it.
and he said we should take his car and run.
Oh, that's just what we're going to do. Your Aunt Jane is a raving lunatic, and she has a pistol into the bargain. Felicity. Felicity!
As if, she could hear me. But where is she? Not in this corner? Under the car? No! She couldn't have escaped. What's that? Who shut the door? Got to get the key. Open the door. Oh, it isn't there. Open the overhead door. It won't budge. What's the matter? Someone's holding it outside! Through the glass! I can't see! No! It's her! No, I don't! Don't! Help me! Help me!
No one to help you now, Jane. You brought it on yourself.
Justice? Certainly. Probably there was no other way Jane Poindexter could have been brought to book. There was small chance of Libby and the boat ever being found, and what proof was there that the digitalis had ever been in the cocoa cup, since Sissy was careful to wash them both out? As for the rest, it would only have been Ellen's word against Jane, which leaves only a couple of questions that I'll try to answer when I return.
You've worked hard to get where you are, and now would be a very good time to give yourself a little pat on the back in the form of Buick Electra, a car filled with room, luxury, comfort, the perfect place for you and your free spirit to get together. Buick Electra. Think of it as recognition for a job well done.
You're a credit to your father.
Oh, you never said that about him before. What'd he do now?
Not him. The Internal Revenue Service. The new tax reduction law now lets us take a $30 credit off our federal income tax for each person we can claim as a dependent.
Oh, I thought we got a $750 exemption.
We still do. But for every such personal exemption for you, me, and the kids, we can deduct $30 right off the tax we owe, up to the amount of the tax, but no more.
My dad's over 65. He gets a double exemption. Does he get a double credit?
Sorry, only one credit per person.
What happens to you at 10 can color your life. But a child also has amazing recuperative powers and the capacity to forget. Growing up as Dennis and Ellen's child, for they adopted her as soon as they were married, there were too many sunny days in Lisha's life for any dark corners to remain. One thing she never did forget, and that was her beloved Mr. Charles. As for Mr. Charles, was he only an echo of the common sense he had taught his granddaughter? Or was he a real and most providential ghost? Our cast included Beatrice Strait, Hetty Galen, Bryna Rayburn, Court Benson, and Gilbert Mack. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I would have to make an investment.
Would it be a wise investment?
Yes, I think so.
Why don't you do it?
I can't. I don't have the money.
Paul, is it a lot of money?
Well, it is to me. I don't have it. Darling, We will have lunch together tomorrow.
How much money?
$10,000.
$10,000?
Well, it's for an initial startup expense.
Paul, I have $10,000.
Oh, no, I wouldn't touch your money.
My money? Paul, there's nothing I own that isn't yours.
But I couldn't...
You're not used to sharing with another person either.
But I could lose this money.
Pick me up for breakfast and we'll go to the bank.
But...
I don't want to hear another word. Just tell me you love me.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
KOIN in Portland, CBS News is next. At 12 midnight, Moonwatch follows.
CBS News. Quietly, grimly, the death toll continues to climb in Guatemala as earthquake aftershocks continue to shake that Central American country. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. A road-clearing crew working on a stretch of highway between Guatemala City and Antigua found the bodies of two peasants buried by a landslide in the February 4th earthquake. Those brought to 650, the number of bodies discovered in the debris in the past week alone. The official death toll now has climbed to 22,778 people, with another 76,504 listed as injured. The industrial city of San Pedro Sula, 175 miles north of Guatemala City, is the latest to be shaken by an earthquake. A 30-second tremor caused residents to flee in panic to the streets, but reportedly caused no new damage. Guatemalan officials report that 22 tremors have been felt during the past 24 hours, bringing to more than 1,000 the total number of shocks felt since the big quake earlier this month. The Argentine government tonight said reports of an imminent military coup to depose President Isabel Perón are false. The official communique was issued after a rash of anonymous telephone calls in Buenos Aires last night announcing that a coup had begun. Earlier, the Argentine Congress rejected a bid by opposition parties to oust Mrs. Perón as incompetent. CBS News continues following this message.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York.
Democratic frontrunner Jimmy Carter took a day off from the rigors of campaigning and found himself the target of attacks from most of the other Democratic presidential aspirants. Among those on the offensive, Senator Henry Jackson predicting victory in next Tuesday's Massachusetts primary after sitting out New Hampshire. Details from CBS News correspondent Leslie Stahl.
Jackson stepped up his attack on Jimmy Carter by accusing him of advocating the elimination of tax deductions on home mortgages. At a League of Women Voters debate last week, Carter talked of an overall tax proposal that would include the elimination of hundreds of tax incentives. At a news conference, Jackson said Carter came out flatly for the end to deductions on mortgages.
Jimmy Carter wants to eliminate the only tax advantage the average family gets. How can a man seeking the Democratic nomination make a proposal like this? I can only say that it is ridiculous.
Carter aides deny the charges and say Carter's tax proposals are intended to reduce the tax rates by 40 to 50%. Leslie Stahl, CBS News, Boston.
President Ford, still buoyed by his narrow victory in New Hampshire, now appears to be joining in the analysis of some members of his campaign committee and other Republicans that the visit to China of ex-President Nixon may have cost him some votes. The president said that for the first time in an exclusive interview with newsman Ralph Renick of Miami's WTVJ-TV.
We haven't been able to analyze that with any definiteness. I presume there will be evidence that it probably hurt. I think the weight of the evidence that we have so far, we don't have all of the evidence in, that it probably was harmful, but I would not want to make that categorical comment at this time.
President Ford, in a special energy message, called anew for Congress to get moving on energy legislation. Congressional leaders insist they're not foot-dragging. Now this.
This time of year, the airways and the newspapers are filled with offers to help prepare your income tax. Some companies even offer to lend you the amount of your refund in advance. Well, this is Gene King with a word of advice from the Council of Better Business Bureaus. With tax laws as they are, it may pay to get professional help if your adjusted gross income is over $10,000. But make sure that the man doing your tax is really a professional. Just because the company advertises a lot doesn't make its people any better qualified to prepare a return. The most reliable help in preparing income tax returns usually comes from certified public accountants or even the Internal Revenue Service itself. Remember, regardless of who prepares your tax returns, you are responsible for what is reported, not the man or the company that prepares it. And if you're called in or questioned, you're the one who must answer.
Russian scientists report experiments with an automobile powered by a hydrogen-producing mini-reactor instead of a gasoline engine. The Soviet news agency TASS gave no indication, however, if the scientists consider the system a viable alternative to conventional automobile engines. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
6 minutes after 12 midnight on Music Radio 97 for a Friday morning, February 27th. My name's Bill Garrity. This is the Moon Watch. Good morning. I'll have local news for you at 12:30.
G-O-I-N.